we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, I want us to hear these words from Psalm 40. I waited and waited and waited for God. At last he looked. Finally he listened. He lifted me out of the ditch, pulled me from deep mud. He stood me up on a solid rock to make sure I wouldn't slip. He taught me how to sing the latest God song, a praise song to our God. More and more people are seeing this. They enter the mystery, abandoning themselves to God. Blessed are you who give yourselves over to God. Turn your backs on the world's sure thing. Ignore what the world worships. The world's a huge stockpile of God wonders and God thoughts. Nothing and no one compares to you, O God. I start talking about you, telling what I know, and quickly run out of words. Neither numbers nor words can account for you. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father God, we are a people who wait for you. We are a people who lift up our voices, trusting that you hear us. And we are a people who are here in this place because we want to encounter you. Thank you that you are a God who sees us. Thank you that you are a God who is near to us. And thank you that you are a God who hears us. And thank you that you're a God who fills this world with your wonders and your majesty and your goodness and your love. Could you open our hearts to see all the glimpses of where you are today? Could you open our mouths to declare your goodness? Would you fill each one of us up in all those deep places within us that need your touch? And would you send us out to declare your majesty to our neighbors, to our world? We love you, O God. We're here because we love you. And so would you be blessed, pleased by what happens in this place? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to Jeremiah 29 and then put another finger in John 16. We've got a passage from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament this morning. Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 4. This is the prophet speaking to a people in exile, in a place of despair. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I've sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce, take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and diviners who are among you deceive you. And do not listen to the dreams they dream. For it's a lie that they're prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you. And I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm. To give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. And then John chapter 16. These are just days before Jesus is crucified and leaves his disciples, starting in verse 16. A little while, and you will no longer see me. And again a little while, and you will see me. Then some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying to us, a little while, and you will no longer see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? And because I'm going to the Father. They said, what does he mean by this a little while? We do not know what he's talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, are you discussing among yourselves what I meant when I said a little while and you'll no longer see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Would you pray with me? Father God, as we turn to your word, would your Spirit move mightily and freely in this place, helping every heavy heart here, whatever it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, and so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing in this series of encountering Jesus, and in these Christ encounters and this real relationship that we have with the living Lord, the pathways that he closes to us and the new pathways that he invites us into. This morning, the pathway that we are invited to live in is a pathway that is free from despair, a people ushered into a life of hope. What is despair? Gave the kids a bit of a definition of it. And most simply, despair is whenever the present feels intolerable and the future doesn't look any better. Rob Bell says despair is just the belief that tomorrow's not going to be any better than today. But there's no end to the struggle, whatever the struggle may be. Things aren't good, and we're pretty sure they're not going to get any better. With those ideas in mind, begin to think about the things in your life that most quickly bring you into those places of despair. The things in your life, in our community, in our world that really just feel a bit hopeless. It's not good. And if you're being honest, odds are you really don't believe it's going to ever get any better. Some of those are very personal things, family systems. Some of us are parts of rather dysfunctional families, even dysfunctional marriages. And we walk through this year after year and pray for something different, holiday after holiday. And it's been decades now and nothing has changed. Maybe you've given up on even thinking they will. It just is what it is. Broken now, probably always will be. Despair. We look at our nation. And boy, if you watch the news, they will tell you that this is a place of despair, that democracy is coming unfrazzled and there's no going back and the parties are against each other and neighbors are against each other. And it's only going to get worse, they say. Is our nation a place for despair? We think about the pandemic. It's been 2 years now. And who would have thought we'd still be sitting here with masks on and we still have so many friends home in quarantine because they got sick? 2 years, we can begin to think, is it ever going to lift? Is it ever going to be okay again? Despair. Some of you, way worse than a COVID virus, have your own personal health struggles that are much more painful and much longer lasting. And you've wondered again and again, is this ever going to get better? Is there any healing? The doctors keep saying we're out of ideas. Despair. Some of you, when you look at your bank account, there's despair. You thought by now in life you would have more in savings, and instead that number under debt has only increased. You'll never get out of it. Despair. We look at our world and we hear reports of global warming and the generations coming up behind us. They're saying, is there going to be a world for our children and for our grandchildren? And many scientists say it's too far gone. Despair. We look at the church the church, our little church, the church in our community, the church in our world, and we wonder, oh my goodness, are there fewer churches? They're closing their doors left and right. Are there fewer Christians than ever before? Is our faith slowly dwindling? Despair. Hear about violence, gun violence. Nations against nations, neighbors against neighbors. Violence, are we becoming more and more violent? Reason to despair. This can all, if you put it together, it can be just so completely overwhelming and stressful and sad. We have to ask ourselves, are things really just getting worse? Are they only ever getting worse? If your answer to that, your gut answer is, well, yeah, no duh. Beware, my friends. You may be finding your home in the pits of despair. How do we find ourselves in this pit of despair? We don't usually just jump into it on our own. We tend to get there gradually or kind of passively. But there's ways we can be aware of how we find our home in the pit. If you find in your head that this record keeps playing that tells you over and over again that you're out of options, whatever scenario you're looking at that's tough and it says, you know, here's what you're dealing with and here's the only options you have to maneuver through it, and they're bad and they're worse, and that's all you've got, that's despair. We do not serve a God who's ever limited to just two options. It's kind of like when you're a kid and you're playing checkers and somewhere along the way you realize, crud, no matter how I go in this game, I'm done for. And so you make the choice in that moment. Are you going to die quickly and just surrender? Or are you going to keep playing and go along the ride for the slow, painful defeat? Either way, you know it's over with. That's one thing in a children's board game. But it's another thing when we're talking about real life stuff. Stay in a lifeless marriage or live alone forever. Those are your only options, despair tells you. Pick one, they're both bad. Stay in a job you hate or don't pay the mortgage. Bad options. Nothing good is on the table. That is the voice of despair. When we let that voice have its way, we forget that we serve a Savior who was stuck between a rock and a hard place, literally dead in a tomb. There were no options left on the table. Except for the option that said perhaps he could just raise to life himself and move that tomb all on his own. There's always another option. With the voice of our God, despair tells us otherwise. How else do we get in those pits of despair? Well, it's easy. Media. Our media loves the pit of despair. Surround yourselves with these voices of the news anchors, and you will be in that pit before you know it. I remember my sweet grandpa. He was a man of faith. He was a preacher his whole life. He preached the good news week after week. He loved Jesus. He believed in the goodness of Jesus. And yet, when my grandma, who was his companion, his love for 72 years, that's how long they were married, when she passed away, he just didn't know what to do with himself. And so he found himself sitting in his little assisted living room with the 24/7 news channel on, 24/7. And I found within a couple of months, my grandpa, who was this great man of joy and faith, became this man who was full of depression and anxiety and despair. Why? Because he was hearing these voices that were trying to make him that way. That's what the media does. They have to keep you engaged. That's how they get their money, by people watching them. And how do they engage you? By making you mad. Enrage to engage. Get you mad, get you anxious, get you scared. Then you can't turn away. And so they keep fueling the pit of despair, and we keep taking the bait, and only they're coming out richer for it. Watch those voices that are coming to you. Sometimes we find ourselves in the pits of despair, not really because of the voices in our head or not because of the voices on TV, but because of the voices of the people that we allow right into our immediate circles. Some of us have people like this lady in our lives, Miss Debbie Downer. Do y'all know her? See if you have any of these people in your life.
Today? You guys here on a special occasion?
Well, we're here on that new Magical Gatherings family package. Got the whole Matusik clan down from Ohio, right, guys? Say hi.
Hi!
Well, great. Let me tell you Mickey specials today. We've got steak and eggs served with some home fries and Mickey waffles.
Woo! I love me some steak and eggs.
Ever since they found mad cow disease in the U.S., I'm not taking any chances. It can live in your body for years before it ravages your brain.
You're enjoying your day, everything's going your way, and along comes Debbie Downer. Always there to tell you about a new disease, a car accident, or killer bees. We beg her to spare you, Debbie, please, but you can't stop Debbie Downer.
Well, we did it, gang. We pulled it off. A family reunion at Disney. I don't know about you guys, but first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to ride that haunted elevator thingy. It drops you straight down.
This is my dream come true. I mean, I'm totally serious. Tigger hugged me at the door and I thought I was going to cry.
I guess Roy isn't doing as well as they first thought. What? Who's Roy? Roy of Siegfried and Roy? He was attacked by his own tiger and suffered devastating injuries.
Do you know her? Is she really close in your life? Be careful. You hang out with the Debbie Downers, the ones who can say yeah, but about any good thing. And it's not going to be long before you're in the pit of despair saying, yeah, but, right there with them. The people we surround ourselves with, the voices we let take over our minds, the media that we give our full attention to, pit of despair, pit of despair, pit of despair. But is despair just the way that it has to be this side of heaven? Is the world just a hard place and so we're all going to just moan our way through it? Is that the way it has to be? Not according to the psalmist. Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. He heard my cry and he came and lifted me out of the pit of despair. The psalmist believes that when God moves in, despair has to move out. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, he says, we're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. He says, because we carry within us the death and the life of Jesus. Paul seems to believe that Christ in us means despair has no part of us. God shows up, despair takes off. How can that be? We've got a couple stories this morning of some of the people of God who were living in real seasons that called for despair. And yet God showed another way. That first one was Jeremiah 29. In the context of this story is the people of Israel have been ushered off into exile. That means by no choice of their own, they've been forced to leave their families and their jobs, their communities, their loved ones, most of all the temple, which in their mind was they had to leave the presence of their very own God. And they were forced to go to a foreign land where they would be oppressed, where they'd be pushed aside. And their temptation in this new place, Babylon, as ours would be, was just to sit back and to wallow and to moan and to do nothing but despair. The prophet Jeremiah gets a word from the Lord to give to his people in exile. He says, Jeremiah, go and tell them that this is what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to plant gardens and watch them grow. And they're supposed to build houses and live in them. And they're supposed to let their sons and daughters get married and let their families take root in that place. He says, Jeremiah, tell the people to seek the welfare, seek the good of their community that they're in. They don't want to be there, but they can still choose to do good work while they're there. And he said, because as it goes good for their community, turns out it's going to go good for them. And he said, and rather than sit back and wallow and moan, tell them to pray for Babylon. To pray for themselves. And he says in Jeremiah, tell them that they're not going home soon. In fact, it'll be 70 years. But they are going home. This isn't forever. But since it's 70 years, may as well get to living a little bit while they're there. And he says in Jeremiah, most of all, tell them that I am still their God. And that I still hear them when they cry. And I still have plans for them to live, for them to prosper. And I still will turn my ear to my people. That has never changed. Tell them this, Jeremiah, so the people of Israel will not live in despair. Even in Babylon, there is reason to live. Even in Babylon, there's reason to hope. And then we come to John 16. And Jesus is preparing his inner circle, those ones who loved him the most, for those days that were coming so soon when they would watch him with their very own eyes suffer and die. And as best as they could tell, disappear from them altogether. And Jesus looks at them, about to face the situation of despair. And he says, listen up, you guys, listen up. In a little while, you're not going to see me anymore. But then, in a little while after that, you will see me. You're going to mourn while the world's rejoicing. But take heart, because in the end, you're going to be rejoicing and no one's going to take your joy from you. He says, when you find yourselves in that place of despair, oh, my children, my disciples, he says, remember the mother that's in childbirth. Get that image in your mind, he says. She's crying and she's hurting and she's overwhelmed by the stress and the pain of it all. But she is not in despair because she knows what's just ahead. Says a mother in labor never stops in the middle, says, never mind, never mind. It's not worth it. Pain, you win. I quit. I'm done. She doesn't have much choice, but even if she did, she knows she's got to just keep pushing through the pain because she knows in her heart of hearts that this isn't the end of the story. This is just the pain before the joy. This is just the struggle before new life is born. She knows if she gives in and gives up now, she's going to miss the point of it all. She's going to miss the joy. She's going to miss the miracle. It's just about to arrive, and she is not about to miss that. Jesus says, my disciples, remember that image. Stick with that metaphor. Jesus loved good metaphors. He said, my friends, that's how you're going to make it through despair when I go away. Like a birthing mother, you're going to remember that the Jesus life, the salvation of Jesus, the healing of Jesus is always just a little ways away. Don't let go too soon, or you might miss seeing the miracle with your very own eyes. Despair not, O disciples, Jesus says. When you look up one day and you can't find me anywhere, do not despair. I've given you a reason for hope. Life is always moving in. So we've got a good metaphor. But what else do we do in those real moments when we really feel the world is just caving in around us and there's no good way out? What are some real tools that help us be a people who walk on the path of hope and not be stuck on the path of despair? I've just got three ideas to hold on to that we see in these two stories. One thing it seems that the Spirit might tell us is in every dark season, when it's so dark, and you just don't know if it's ever going to lift. In every dark season, rather than do the easy thing, which is sit back and wallow and obsess over all the things that are messed up, try your best. It's not easy, but try your best to focus instead on your purpose. In that very place, at that very time, Jeremiah told the exiles, guys, stop obsessing over what your life was like back in Israel. Give all that energy to focusing more on how you're actually going to make a life right here in Babylon. Get to planting and get to building and get to praying. He says, in so doing, you don't know it, but you're going to be showing a whole new nation of people what it means to be the people of God. He says, you're not in Babylon by accident. You've got a purpose here. See your purpose. Live into your purpose. Despair says, oh, just sit back and wallow in this hard place. God says, get busy cultivating life from all that's right in front of you, right here, right now. What tempts you to despair the most these days? Something on a national level, something on a personal level. What's the quickest thing that leads you to that little voice in your head that says, it's never going to get better. It's only getting worse. Identify that for yourself. And challenge yourself to this. Rather than sit back and just focus on all that's wrong with it and how good it used to be, give some attention instead to what your purpose in that struggle might actually be. Because you've got one. If you're a child of God, you've got one. I found myself just this week going to this place of despair in regards to our community. There's this division in our community right now. And it came out on social media. Our kids, our junior high and high schoolers were out of school on Wednesday because of threats of violence. So we've got the issue of violence and kids being afraid to go to school, which is totally never okay. And I began to dig into that a little more and saw that it's not just threats of violence, that even beneath that surface, there's some racial tension in our community. And there's people making accusations of people that don't have much of a voice. And there's lies being told, and there's people that are perpetuating those lies. And there's not very many voices of truth and unity in our midst. And I wanted to just sit back and say, God, this little town is so broken. And people are so against each other. And it's only getting worse. And I heard God speak to my heart in such a challenging way all week long. And said, Jamie, there's no good in the pit of despair. Said, rather than sit back and wallow about the brokenness, what if I'm calling you to cultivate some life in this place, to speak some truth in a courageous sort of way, to dream bigger dreams for us of people together, of unity, of minority peoples being honored. What if that's the good work to do? When we get stuck in despair, we miss out on all the invitations to live out the good work that's right here. If we're living in a hard place, in a dark day, it's because God wants you, children of light, to share some light in that hard place on that dark day. Everyone else can wallow. We've got work to do. Let's get to work. What's tempting you to wallow in despair these days? What whispers at you, it's not good and it's never going to get any better? Where's your little pockets of despair that make you just want to moan and groan and complain? And what do you think might be God's invitation to you in that very place? How do you think he might want you to shine his light of hope? You, his child, focus on your purpose. And despair finds no place to lay its ugly head. Focus on your purpose. Another idea. When you're in despair, right in the thick of it, remind yourself a million times over, it is not permanent. Things will always get better. Jeremiah tells his people, it's not a short stay in Babylon necessarily. It's 70 years, but it's not permanent. You're going to go back home one day. It's a while, but you're going to go back home one day. John 16, Jesus says how many times, like a dozen it seems, in those few verses, a little while, in a little while you're not going to see me, but then in a little while you will see me. My good friends, he says, it's just a little while. When you feel the weight of the world crushing in on you, hear the voice of Jesus over and over, a little while, a little while, a little while. Despair is that voice that sneaks in and tells us it's always going to be bad. And it's only going to get worse, and we're never going to get any better. Brené Brown, who's a sociologist and also a Christian, she says in her own life when she's battling these, it's permanently broken forever thoughts. She challenges herself to step back and practice thinking about the temporary nature of most every setback in our life. She says, when I feel totally overwhelmed, I get in this habit of asking myself, will this issue be a big deal in 5 minutes? How about 5 hours? Will it be a big deal in 5 weeks? 5 months? 5 years? Most things that bury us in the pits of despair turns out they're very, very temporary. Just think of all the traffic jams that you've sat through. And you've said, I'm never going to get home. I mean, you're here, right? Case in point. Think of all those school and work assignments that you said, there's no way I can figure this out. There's no way I can get this done. I can't do it. They got done, didn't they? Think of all those losses in your life. When you said, I cannot make it without them. I cannot bounce back from this. I can never have joy again. And yet God got you up this morning, and I heard you. You still have a song of hope to sing. Look, you guys, we're making it with God's help. Here we are. We're making it. All those things that we thought would be the end of us forever. Turns out not one of them has been the end of us yet. Temporary. All of those things that tempt us to despair, they're just temporary. All of them. Nothing that leads us to despair. Nothing is forever. Not so long as we follow a Savior whose life didn't end in the tomb, but who overcame the most hopeless of days. God Himself is dead, and we did it. And now He's alive and well, telling us that we will be alive and well too. And so whatever it is that feels like it's just totally crushing your hope today, my friends, I give you permission to tell it loud and tell it clear. You don't have the final say. Jesus outlives all despair. Your life in Christ, that's the only thing that's permanent around here. Despair is not permanent. Christ and Christ in you, that will last when everything else fades away. When you're in despair, tell yourself 1,000 times over, this is temporary. My life in Christ is forever. And finally, in those pits of despair, don't fall for those lies of the extremes. Those are the lies that say everything is ruined and it's all bad and it's all wrong and it's all broken and it's all hopeless. You've heard those, right? I've heard some of you say those. Don't fall for it. Would you hear me this morning, you guys? It's not. It's not. It's just not all bad and it's not all broken. The Israelites there in Babylon, you could hear their chorus. This is all bad. Everything about Babylon, bad, bad, bad. Jeremiah speaks out. Actually, no, it's not. God says there's some good soil here. We could plant something. That's not bad. The disciples, when Jesus died, you can hear them together in that upper room when they're locked away and scared to death, saying together, it's all over. There is nothing good that can come from this, nothing. They'd remember a few days later, or maybe all this pain might give way to life in just a little while. Maybe it's not all over. With this pandemic we're living in, how often have we heard, we're never going back. Everything is different now. I heard that one. Is it true? Is everything different now? Everything? Has everything been made worse than it used to be? I mean, honestly, I find myself when I'm playing that record, everything's different now. When I take a step back and begin thinking about it and start naming all the things the pandemic hasn't changed, my love for my family and friends, this beautiful place we get to live, the Olympic Mountains are still standing tall. They don't care about the pandemic. This church that I love, still going strong. This calling that gives me life, it's still the same. Those daily joys that like good food. I've had good food the whole pandemic. Giving my dog belly scratches. She has no idea there's a pandemic going on. A husband that makes me laugh, that's the same. There's so much that the pandemic hasn't even touched. Hasn't ruined everything. Heck, it hasn't even really changed most things when we think about all the things that make up our lives. You see, in our despair, we give the hard things way more power than they deserve. Way more power. No matter what the hard thing is in your life that's trying to convince you that it's threatening everything. If you lose that job, No one's going to like you anymore. You've lost everything. You're nothing. If you lose that relationship, you are nothing. Everything's lost. Whatever that is that's telling you if this happens, that puts a stain on everything. My friend, would you hear this morning that there are deep, eternal truths that will never be the least bit affected by anything that happens to you? There is no pandemic, and there is no divorce, and there is no bankruptcy, and there is no world war, and there is no tsunami, and there is no failure, and there is no pink slip, and there is no diagnosis that can touch some things about you that are true and that will always be true. And what are those things we want to know? Those are the things of who God is and who God is in you. Nothing will ever rock your world so much that it can even touch these things, much less change them. You want to hear a few of those? You are deeply loved by the God of the universe, and nothing can change that. God knows you personally. And he wants to forgive you completely. And he bestows his gifts upon you generously. And he hears you clearly when you call on him. And he sees you fully. And he wants to embrace you tightly. And God is with you. And God is for you. And God is behind you. And God is in front of you. And my friends, hear this. God isn't mad at you. Never has been. Never will be. And he will never leave you or forsake you. And he has not given up on you. In fact, he's already made a path clear, and that is a path for life and joy for you. Nothing that tempts you to despair can touch any of these things. Nothing is so bad that it undoes all that is so, so good. And there's so much that is so, so good. And every bad thing that we've named today, if we just try to look at that very situation with the eyes of Christ, I guarantee you we will see life even there, even in those deepest, darkest pits. Why? Because Jesus is life and Jesus is everywhere. And so he's got to be doing the things of life everywhere. In those very favorite places of despair, the ones that get you in the pit fastest of all, even there, not everything is ruined. And even there, not everything is bad. And even there, everything's not just getting worse, because everywhere, there is life everywhere. If Jesus is everywhere, there is life everywhere. I mean, a few just quick examples. Our political divide. Oh, our nation's just getting worse and worse. Maybe. I don't know about you, though, but like in the last 5-6 years, I have found myself in my heart finding my joy and my peace in no king and no ruler, but in the Lamb of God seated on the throne, the kingdom of heaven coming to earth. That's my hope and that's my joy. And I have found that more than ever because of the political turmoil around us. Give thanks to God for that. There's life calling his people to the true king. This pandemic, there's nothing good come from the pandemic. Actually, I see life all around. We figured out our priorities a bit, right? We had to stop everything. The things we stepped back into are the things that we've decided are life-giving. All those little time suckers, we just kind of didn't go back to them. That's a gift. I've seen families become closer during this pandemic time. I've seen folks that show up to church on a Sunday after a year of watching in your pajamas at home. The ones who come back, they're the ones that want to be here. That are eager to worship God and do it in community. What a gift. The depth of it all, the genuineness of it all. The pandemic helped us with that. We moan and groan about how Christianity is declining and churches are getting smaller and there's no Christians anymore. That's not the truth worldwide. Did you know that? Did you know that the two places where Christianity is growing the fastest today, you won't believe this, Iran and Afghanistan. Isn't that awesome? In 1979, some of y'all were alive then. I was almost alive, but not yet. 1979, that's not that long ago. It was estimated there were 500 Christians from a Muslim background in the entire nation of Iran. 500. Today, they say there's hundreds of thousands, if not well over 1 million. That's not that long ago. There are 56 million Christians in Chinese house churches worshiping Jesus today. The church, my friends, is growing like wildfire in places like Africa and Latin America. The church is not dead. Just turns out America is not the center of the world or even of God's kingdom sometimes. And yet even in America, it may look smaller, but there's something of a refining happening here. And discipleship is going deeper and the hearts of God's people are waking up as we come together. The church is not dead, my friends, because God is not dead and it's his baby. Violence, what about violence? Seems like that's only getting worse and worse. It's all we hear about in the news when the pandemic story's over, right? Who's sick and who died? That's the two things. Did you know that with this big thing of violence, the last 66 years, there has been no major conflict between major world powers? That's the longest stretch since at least the Roman Empire. That's good news. That's good news. So you see, it's not all bad, and it's not all just getting worse. That's the voice of despair that says that. That is not the voice of Jesus. The truth is this. In every area, God is in it, and he's doing something of life through it. Nothing is too far gone for Jesus to be able to turn it around. And nothing in your life is too broken for the love of Jesus to be able to heal. And no part of your story is too wasted to be used by God for good. And nothing that you've done or that's been done to you has changed the truth of who you are, a beloved child of God. And nothing that you've done or that's been done to you has changed the truth of what God is doing in you if you just love him back. And that is that he's working all things together for your good. So my friends, despair no more, because we serve a God who never gets stuck. We serve a God who never gets overpowered. We serve a God who never gets derailed. Despair no more, because our God knows how to work all things together for the good, and he's doing it, all things for good. Despair no more, because we serve a God who knows how to make all things new, and he's doing it, making all things new. Despair no more. Nothing is hopeless. Darkness doesn't win. Doom and gloom don't get the last word. Not so long as God's still here. And my friends, I tell you from the bottom of my heart, God's still here. And so let us walk in hope and despair no more, because God is still here. Would you pray with me? Oh God, forgive us for how easily we fall into the trap. We let the voices around us determine what's true and forget your voice that has told us the truth all along, that we are children of hope. We are children of life because we are your children. And you're a God of hope. You're a God of salvation. You're a God who's always on the move, doing something good and doing something new. And so today, oh God, we lay our despairs down at the feet of Jesus. And we pick up your invitation to walk as children of hope, to walk in the gift of life in you. Help us not just do it in this moment, but carry that mantle of hope all week long. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.